sermon last week was so close, yet so far away. So let me do a little explaining on that, and then we'll move forward. See, if anybody should have recognized who Jesus was, it should have been Israel, right? They were so close, but because they missed Jesus, they might as well have been a million miles away. They were so close, yet they were so far away. Probably the key passage that we looked at was Romans chapter 10, verse 2. And this is Paul speaking. He says, "I can testify about them that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." So they have zeal for God. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to be fired up for Jesus. It's a good thing to have passion and excitement, right? But when that passion and excitement is not joined together with the knowledge of the truth of who God is and who God's Son is, then all the excitement in the world isn't going to change the fact that you're still lost if you don't know Jesus. Amen? So, Israel didn't recognize Jesus for who he was, so they tried to earn salvation by following the law. But the problem with that is salvation can't be earned. Nobody can follow the law perfectly. Because listen, to be righteous according to the law means that you follow all of the law all of the time. Right? So I might, for a 5-minute period, I might could say, "Ooh, I hadn't messed up any of the Ten Commandments in the last 5 minutes." But 5 minutes doesn't matter. It's what have you done in your entire life. So to be righteous, it requires more than we have to give. It requires more than us. Nobody can keep all the law all the time because the Bible tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? All right, so I want to show a picture now and try to explain this. Has anybody ever passed one of these on the side of the road? Yeah. Is anybody like me and without even thinking, you go ahead and tap the brake real quick and try to get that number down a little bit? See, that device, it's a speed trailer. And what it does is, in a way, it's like the law. The Mosaic Law, the law of God. The law shows us where we fall short, but it doesn't keep us from falling short. So you'll see that thing, and it'll show you where you've fallen short. It'll show you how much faster you're going than you should be, but it has no power to keep you from going fast, right? It might for a second make you slow down, but then when you get past it and you see the coast is clear, you're going to go right back to how fast you were going, right? It can make us aware of our shortcoming. That's what the law does. But it doesn't save us. It doesn't keep us from falling short. It just shows us the depth of our sin and our desperate need for a Savior. That's what the law does. Unbelieving Israel was so close to the truth when Jesus was alive on earth, but they missed it. And listen, all these years later, many people today, inside the church and outside the church, are still missing it if they miss out on who Jesus is. We can be so close and yet so far away. So this is sort of the part two. And what I want us to see in Romans 10 this morning, I want us to see three truths about salvation that will put us right where we need to be. So last week we're talking about so close yet so far away. This week we want to know the truth, so we'll be right there where we need to be, all right? All right, let's pray before we read the text. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to sing praises to you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to freely gather together with other believers. Lord, and I thank you for the opportunity to open your amazing, precious, holy word of God. I pray that you would speak to us now through your word, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide me, that I wouldn't say anything that's not from you. We want to hear from you, Lord. Speak to us, give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. We love you, Lord, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So I'm going to read all the way through this passage, 4 through 13, and then I want to show you those three truths. All right, so starting with verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Since Moses writes about the righteousness that's from the law, the one who does these things will live by them. That sort of goes back to what we said a minute ago. If you want to live by the law, you got to live by it. You got to do them all the time, right? Verse 6. But the righteousness that comes from faith speaks like this. Do not say in your heart, who will go up to heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will go down into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. On the contrary, what does it say? The message is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame, since there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Such a powerful book Romans is, and this is such a powerful passage of scripture that we're looking at this morning. All right. Three truths about salvation that'll keep us from being so close yet so far away. It'll put us right where we need to be with the Lord. All right. Here's number one. Salvation is a gift from God in Christ. Salvation is a gift from God in Christ. Say, unbelieving Israel did not get this. Right, but it's so important that we understand it. It's so important that we get this. Salvation is a gift. It's not something we earn. It's not certainly not something we deserve. It's a gift from God, and that gift came to us in Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Salvation is a gift from God in Christ. All right, so I'm going to tell a little joke here, try not to mess it up. I don't know that it's theologically 100% correct, but it makes a point, all right? So there's a man who was very active in his church, a leader in his church, and he dies, and he goes to the gates of heaven, and an angel meets him there and says, all right, so it takes 1,000 points to get inside. So tell me about yourself. So the man says, well, I've been to church my whole life. I was, you know, pretty much since I was born, I've been coming to church. The only time I ever missed church is one time I had the flu and I had to stay home. Other than that, I'm in church every time the doors are open. So the angel says, hey, that's very impressive. That's good. That's 1 point. Tell me something else about yourself. The guy's eyes get kind of big. He says, okay. He says, well, I've volunteered in pretty much every area of the church that you can volunteer in, right? I've always tithed 10%, you know, how's that? And the guy says, hey, that's very impressive. That's another point. Tell me more about yourself. And the guy is kind of scared, kind of sweating by this point. And he says, man, if I make it into heaven, it's going to be only by the grace of God. And the angel says, that answer is worth 1,000 points. You can come in. Right? See, that's how we get in. It's not by our good works. It's by the grace of God. Like I said, theologically, I don't know about meeting somebody at the gate and all that, but it makes a point. It makes a point. I want to read a couple of verses here. These won't be on the screen, but this is just to kind of flesh out and help us understand that salvation is a gift from God in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. If you want to get fired up about Jesus and what he's done for you, go home and read Ephesians chapter 2. It is such an amazing chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Then a couple of verses later in verse 11, it says, so then remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh. And in verse 12, at that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, easy for me to say, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Those who were without hope, those who were far away, have been brought near by Jesus' blood. The blood that was shed on the cross, that is what brings us close to Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation is a gift from God in Christ. All right, the second truth. Salvation is not complicated. Salvation is not complicated. A lot of people think that it is. A lot of people try to make salvation complicated, but it is really not complicated or difficult at all. It is beautifully simple. Some things in life are unnecessarily overcomplicated, right? You could probably think of something right off the top when you think about things that are more complicated than they should be, right? Well, as a dad of an eighth grader and a fifth grader that just did half a year of virtual school, Common Core math instantly comes to my mind. So let's look at this. This is how I learned how to do math there on the top. That makes sense to me, right? That below that doesn't make any sense to me. It comes out to the same answer, right? And hey, you teachers, Charlene, you teachers are a lot smarter than I am. And so if this helps our kids learn, praise God for that. But for me, it's like, can I not just put it like this? Can I not just do it the old way, right? So a lot of times if you want to help your kids with the homework, you got to learn it first and then so you can show them how to do it. But this is one of those things like Common Core, to me anyway, overly complicated when it doesn't have to be, right? You probably could think of a lot of different examples. People tend to think of salvation as being complicated when in reality it's really simple. Beautifully simple, right? And when we do that, sometimes we take that mentality into other areas of life. I'm done with the Common Core, y'all. Y'all can take that out. Sometimes we take that mentality to other areas of our Christian walk when we think that salvation is complicated. It's not about what we have to do. It's about what Jesus has already done, right? When we think about it as what we have to do, we're overcomplicating things. We just need to remember what Jesus has already done on our behalf. So, sometimes we'll have thoughts like, I can't share the gospel with anybody. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I don't know the verses. I don't know the order. I'll mess it up. I can't do that, right? We think that it's more complicated than it is, but basically all it comes down to, if you're a Christian, talk to somebody else and tell them about what God has done in your life, right? And once you've established that, hey, this is what God has done for me, tell them John 3:16, right? Just about everybody knows that verse. And then you can build on that. It's not complicated. We make it complicated, but it's not. We might think things like, I can't teach my family about Jesus. I don't know enough. I can't do a family devotion at home. I can't show my kids that this is what we need to do as a family to follow the Lord. I can't do those things. It's because we think that it's more complicated than it is. I can't serve at my church. What can I do? What ability do I have to do anything? I can't be a servant. I can't disciple anybody. I can't be discipled. Right? I don't know enough. I can't battle my sin and fight it instead of indulging in it. Right? I'm too weak. I can't do it. I'm just a sinner. I can't fight my sin. I can't battle my sin. Listen, when we focus on our abilities, or maybe I should say our inabilities, we can come up with all kinds of reasons that we can't do something. But instead of doing that, we need to start focusing on what God can do. Start trusting God and His Word, which tells us that all things are possible in Christ with God. We need to trust that He can do through us anything. He's unlimited. We put so many limits on God. He has no limits. We do have limits, but they're nothing for God. They're not going to stop Him from accomplishing His will in your life, His will in my life, if we will submit to Him and trust Him. Salvation is not complicated. All right, number three. Salvation is available to all. Now, at this time when Paul was writing this letter to the believers in Rome, there was still a lot of division between the Jews and the Gentiles, and there was still a lot of people that believed that righteousness and salvation was only for Israel, and all the Gentiles were excluded from it. And Paul himself believed that for a long time before he met Jesus on Damascus Road. But it's not only for Israel. It's for everyone. It is available to all people. So let's think about some things that are not available to all people. Anybody been on a flight lately in the last couple of years, like going anywhere on vacation or something? Nobody? Keith, Charlene, thank you. Okay. Now, y'all may have sat first class. I have not sat first class. When you get on the plane, there's all these people. They're already on board. They've already got, you know, a Coke and some peanuts. They're reclined. They're all comfortable. Some of them are asleep. Some of them are on laptops doing work. They have so much room, right? It looks so comfortable. And they just scoot you right on through there, you know, because that's only for the people who have paid for the first class ticket. The rest of us go back and sit, and you got about this much room, and you got about that much room between your knees and the seat in front of you. It's a whole different world when you leave first class and you go back into coach, right? Not everything is available to all people, right? Military veterans, they get certain discounts at certain places, and rightfully so. I think they ought to get discounts to everything everywhere.
Amen.
But if you haven't served the country and you're not considered a veteran, you don't get that discount, right? Because it's not available to everyone. If you don't have a Sam's Club membership, you ain't going to go buy nothing in Sam's Club, right? I remember one time that Sam's Club has a gas station, right? And I don't remember what was going on, but we were very low on gas, and instead of driving down here to this gas station, I said, well, I'll just whip right in here. And Kristen's like, honey, you can't go to that gas station. We're not Sam's Club members. It's like, I don't want to go in the store. I just want to buy gas. I pull up. She's like, no, you cannot buy gas here. And I'm like, yeah, I can. Pull up, get out, put my card in. It doesn't want my card. It wants a Sam's Club membership. So, as I often do, didn't listen to my wife. She was right. I was just trying to give them my money for some of their gas. They said, no, you got to have a Sam's Club membership. Not everything is available to everybody, right? But salvation is available to everyone, every person. I don't care what you've done. Jesus died in your place. Salvation is available to you and to me and to everyone. Salvation is available to all. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All come to me. What Jesus did on the cross, it wasn't just for a select few. It wasn't just for one group. It wasn't for one political party. It wasn't for one skin color. It wasn't for any of these things that divide us. It says, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is available to all. Jesus told us that he would make us fishers of men. And that means to be a fisher of men just means to share the good news of the gospel. And we need to get busy doing that, right? We need to share the good news of the gospel. It's available to all, so we need to take it out there to everyone. Amen. So they can have the hope that we have as Christians. Amen? I heard a story recently about this guy that was a phenomenal fisherman. And a matter of fact, when most people would go out on the lake and come back with two or three, he would come back with 200 or 300. Like, everybody's talking about this guy, great fisherman. So the game warden hears about this and he says, "Ain't no way this guy," I think Gary's heard this, he's already laughing. So the game warden says, "Ain't no way this guy is that much better fisherman than everybody else. I need to see what's going on with this." So he goes to the fisherman's house, knocks on the door. Fisherman answers the door, and he says, "Hey, I'm the local game warden. I'd like to go fishing with you." Well, fisherman never skips out on a chance to get on the lake. He says, "Sure, let's go." So they load up. They hit the water. They're chatting it up, making their way to a spot on the lake. So they get right out in the middle of the lake. And as they're going out there, the game warden, he starts noticing something's wrong in this boat. "We're going fishing. I ain't seen one fishing rod. I ain't seen no bait. I ain't seen no tackle box. What are we doing in this boat?" So they get out to the middle of the boat, cuts the boat off. He got a little black duffel bag sitting at his feet. Reaches in the duffel bag, pulls out a stick of dynamite, lights it up, tosses it in the lake. Boom! All these fish come flying out of the water, land on the water, stunning. He turns on the trolling motor, gets the fishing net, goes around, starts picking up the fish. Game warden says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? This is highly illegal. You can't do this." Man just laughs, says, "No, we got more fishing to do." Goes to the next spot, boom, more fish. And the guy says, "Look, this is ridiculous. What you are doing is so against the law. You've broken so many laws, I can't even count them all. Disturbing the peace, illegal detonation of dangerous material, at least a half a dozen other that are misdemeanors, if not felonies, right?" Whole time the guy's talking, he reaches in the bag, pulls out a stick of dynamite, lights the dynamite, hands it to the game warden. Game warden takes it, it's like, "Wait, what are you doing?" And then the guy says what all fishermen say to each other: "Are you going to talk or are you going to fish?" Right? That really is our problem when it comes to sharing our faith. We'll listen to sermons about sharing our faith all day long, right? We can read books about sharing our faith. We can do all kinds of things to learn why we should share our faith, how we should share our faith. But when it comes down to it, the church is not sharing their faith near as much as they need to be, right?
Amen.
If we really believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if we really believe that he died on the cross, and because of his death and because of his resurrection, sinful man who had no hope was going straight to hell because of sin, because of Jesus, sinful man can be made righteous and be brought back into God's presence. If we really believe that, we should be telling everybody we know about the hope that we have so that they'll know Jesus like we know him, right? But why don't we? Not only should we be sharing the gospel, because salvation is available to all people, we should be supporting our efforts to share the gospel with passionate, intense prayer. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If we're ever going to do anything that's going to matter for the Lord, it's going to start, it's going to be fueled by prayer. We got to get back to praying as a church that the Spirit of God would fall on this place, that the Spirit of God would fill up our hearts, that the Spirit of God would go out into this community and save lost souls and turn around lives that are falling apart, that would put back together marriages that are falling apart. There is great power in prayer, and we got to get busy praying. We got to get back to praying for kids and grandkids that they'll come to know Jesus if they don't already. Right? We don't just hope that they do. We don't just hope that they'll see that, you know, mom and dad don't cuss and go to church sometimes and hope that that'll be enough to lead them to Jesus. They need to know the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done for them. And the church needs to be praying. We need to be praying for others. We need to be praying for salvation. We need to be praying that our community would be impacted by the gospel for God's glory. We need to be praying that our coworkers, our neighbors, our classmates, our teammates, anybody that God puts in our paths, we need to be praying for those people. And we need to be ready to share with them the hope that we have in Jesus. Amen. Salvation is available to all. Think about somebody you don't like. Salvation is available to them. Jesus died for them. Think about the person you love the most on the whole earth. Jesus died for that person. Salvation is available to them. Think about walking through Walmart, a bunch of people you don't even know. Jesus died for every single one of them. Salvation is available to all of them. Salvation is available to the atheist. Salvation is available to the Muslim, the Buddhist. Salvation is available to anybody that calls on the name of the Lord and believes in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross. He paid their penalty, took their place. Salvation is available to all. I found a quote this week in a book, and I looked and tried to find the author of the quote, but it's just credited to an unknown author. But I like this quote. It says, "If you have everything but Jesus, you have nothing. But if you have nothing but Jesus, you have everything." Now, if you have truly entered into a relationship with Jesus, if Jesus has touched your heart and changed your life, you can testify that that's true. In our worst times, even when we're struggling the most, to have Jesus is to have everything. It's hope for eternity. It's peace in the midst of the storm. To have Jesus is to have everything. To have everything in this world but Jesus is to have nothing. Salvation is a gift from God in Christ Jesus. Salvation is not complicated. We shouldn't overthink it. We shouldn't make it complicated. Salvation is available to all. Not only to a select few. Salvation is available to all. If you know that that's true, and you place your faith, you place your life in Jesus, then you will be right where you need to be with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord, that salvation is available to all in Jesus. I pray, Lord, for those that are here this morning, for those that are watching on Facebook, for those that might listen to this later on the website. If there's somebody that's never put their faith in you, never trusted you as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Why wait another day? We're not promised another second. Jesus died for us. God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for giving me hope. I certainly don't deserve it. I've never done anything to earn it. Thank you, God, for loving me in spite of me. Thank you, Lord, for this church family. I pray, God, that you would move in our hearts, that you would move in our lives in a powerful way, that you would get every single bit of the glory for it, God.
Yes.
I pray that we would get to experience an outpouring of your Spirit and your love, and that we would get to see the lost be found in you, that we would get to play a small part in that, just being obedient believers, that we would pray and anticipate that we would share our faith, God, and that you would use it to bring in the harvest. God, we'll give you all the glory for it. God, we love you. We thank you so much, God, for just being here with us today, God, speaking to us through your word. Lord, we love you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, if you would, stand to your feet. Robert and Diane are going to lead us. This is a time of response. This altar is open. You can pray in your seat. You can pray at your house. You can pray riding down the road. But I do believe that there's something special about the altar of the church. I know that throughout the years, God has done so many wonderful things in this room, at this altar. He's changed hearts, changed lives. And so if you're praying for somebody to come to faith, you can pray right where you're at, but you can pray right here at this altar. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. If you want to respond in any other way to what the Spirit may be leading you to do, you can do that at this time as we sing. Brother Robert. Thank you so much for being here. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Be back with us Wednesday night, and we look forward to gathering again next Sunday as well. So thank you all for being here. Dwayne, would you pray for us?
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house this morning. Thank you, Brother Grant.